In today's shiur, we will discuss the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat and the timing of candle lighting, and by extension, the timing of Motzei Shabbat as well. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Baalei HaTosfot that there is a mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat to add on time before Shabbat and after Shabbat to enhance the time of the Kedusha of Shabbat to extend both into Friday and into Sunday, as we mentioned previously. The Rambam, in fact, does not quote the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat at all, but nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this from Tosefot and assumes it is normative practice. We therefore add on time before Shabbat, and we do not start Shabbat at the very last minute. The very last minute would be Shkia at sunset, meaning whether or not a person has fulfilled the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat or not, whether they like it or not, Shkiyat HaChama, sunset is the point of last return, of no return, and at that point Shabbat starts whether we like it or not. So the mitzvah to Eran Zman, to Tosefet Shabbat, is before sunset. The Shulchan Aruch writes that Tosefet Shabbat can extend all the way until Plag HaMincha, which is an hour and a quarter in halachic hours before sunset, but cannot extend before then. During that period of time, as much as we would like of that time can be Tosefet Shabbat, as much or as little. Tosefet in one place recommends that it should be no less than 2 minutes, but as much or as little of that time should be the time of Tosefet Shabbat. Now, once we've accepted the time of Tosefet Shabbat, it's considered to be Shabbat l'kol davar, not allowed to do any melacha at that point, and it's considered to be Shabbat, even though I've willingly accepted Shabbat at a period of time before sunset. There is one exception to that rule that's worth noting. That's considered of Amira l'Yisrael, meaning normally we know that there's a prohibition on Shabbat to do Amira l'Nechri, to ask a non-Jew to do anything that I'm not allowed to do on Shabbat. If there's a prohibition that I cannot do on Shabbat, I am prohibited from asking a non-Jew to do it for me. That's the prohibition, Midrabanan, of Amira l'Nechri. During the time of Tosefet Shabbat, it's conceivable and often possible that one person would have accepted Shabbat earlier than somebody else. And as such, if I accepted Shabbat earlier, but you did not, many poskim and ravadis among them, permit Amira l'Yisrael. I'm allowed to ask another Jewish person to do melacha on my behalf during that time. So for example, if I forgot to turn on the light or I forgot to do something, I may ask another Jew who has not yet accepted Shabbat to do things for me. But nonetheless, I would be forbidden to ask a non-Jew to do it because I've accepted all the stringencies of Shabbat, including Amira l'Nechri. Something important to keep in mind. So, for example, if the woman of the household lights candles early and accepts Shabbat at the time, although we mentioned previously she doesn't have to, but let's say she did, the husband, the children, do not necessarily have to accept the time of Tosefet Shabbat at that time if they would still like to drive to the Beit Knesset or some things like that, and therefore she can even ask him to do things on her behalf during that time of Tosefet Shabbat. This is because a number of reasons. The first is that this is a time that I optionally chose to make that Tosefet Shabbat. I didn't have to be in this situation. Secondly, there might be a way out of it. We generally assume that there's not, but there is the possibility, therefore, of him made Amira l'Yisrael during the time of Tosefet Shabbat. As we mentioned previously, Tosefet Shabbat is considered to be Shabbat l'kol davar. It's considered to be Shabbat for all purposes, and therefore, we make Kiddush during that time, and it qualifies for Shabbat. We can fulfill the mitzvah of Seudat Shabbat during that time, and it qualifies as fulfilling the mitzvah of Seudot Shabbat. Importantly, it's important to note that the acceptance of Tosefet Shabbat is not necessarily tied to Kabbalat Shabbat, the tefillah that we say in Beit Knesset. Often, the practice in this country is that we come to Beit Knesset usually around the time of candlelighting until we get to Kabbalat Shabbat, is sometimes significantly after sunset, depends on how long it takes you to say Shir HaShirim. But we will not get the Kabbalat Shabbat, the Tefillah of Kabbalat Shabbat, L'chadodi Likrat Kala. The Shulchan Aruch writes that generally the practice was to accept Shabbat by Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbat or Bo'i Kala. That's when they said it, earlier than sunset. Generally speaking, certainly in the winter months, we don't do that. Nonetheless, Shabbat begins well before. Shabbat begins well before. We just don't have we have not yet said the Tefillah of Kabbalat Shabbat, but that does not impinge on the acceptance of Tosefet Shabbat. One practical issue is that if we do get to the Beit Knesset around candlelighting time, and we start Mincha at that point, Tosefet Shabbat is a mitzvah that needs to be done before sunset. Often Mincha can go up until sunset, very close to sunset, or a few moments later. It's still important to fulfill the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat. If a person can, then after Mincha, it's appropriate to say, I hereby accept upon myself the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat, so long as it's about 2 minutes before Shia. It's preferable, if possible, not to accept Tosefet Shabbat and then say Mincha, because it's a tarte de satre. It's contradiction. On the one hand, we're saying, well, I'm accepting the fact that it's Shabbat now, and on the other hand, I'm going to say a tefillah shel chol, that of the tefillah of Friday, and therefore it's best not to do that, but we may have no choice. There is a tshuva of the Eretz Tzvi, who writes that, generally speaking, we assume that the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat relates to not doing melacha. So when we arrive in Beit Knesset and we put our keys away, if we're driving there, we put all the mukta away, and we're ready to be in Beit Knesset mode, whether we liked it or not, we've accepted Tosefet Shabbat. Yes, it would be ideal to do so verbally and in an active way, but even if we didn't, then in a passive way, we've accepted the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat. We've accepted Tosefet Shabbat by just continuing our tefillah and being there, and so we assume that it works in that manner. There's the same mitzvah as to have mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat on the other end. On Motza'e Shabbat, we add on time after Shabbat, and particularly because Shabbat is a mitzvah d'oraita, we are particularly machmir about how we determine the time that Shabbat will end. And you'll note that if you look in most shul weeklies and bulletins, there is a variety of how to determine when Shabbat ends. Rav Avadya Yosef was particularly insistent that Sephardic Jews follow the practice of the Zman Rabbeinu Tam. The Zman Rabbeinu Tam is one of the Rishonim from France. He is the only opinion that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch in terms of figuring out when Shabbat ends. The Shulchan Aruch only quotes one opinion, that's of Rabbeinu Tam, and it happens to be the opinion of the vast, vast, vast majority of all the Rishonim as well. The time of Rabbeinu Tam is significantly later than the time that's traditionally printed in most shul bulletins, particularly in this country. But Rav Avadya Yosef thought that particularly when it came to Isurei d'Oraita, it's important that a person should try to be machmir for Zman Rabbeinu Tam. He thought B'nai Torah particularly, this is something that they should certainly accept upon themselves to keep Shabbat until the time of Rabbeinu Tam. He did recognize, however, that not everybody was able to do that, and therefore if one person is accepting Shabbat until the time of Rabbeinu Tam, and he's still assuming that it's Shabbat, he can ask others who are not doing so to do melacha on his behalf in such a way. Now, mentioned that the Shulchan Aruch only quotes one opinion. However, the Vilna Gaon came along and he disagreed vehemently with Rabbeinu Tam. He argued that he said hachush makhish, that when you look outside, the astronomy does not seem to correspond to Rabbeinu Tam's assumption, and therefore he came up with a different approach. That was, in fact, the minhag of Eretz Yisrael. The Sephardic Jews in Eretz Yisrael, for many, many, many years, was to hold like the earlier time. Rav Avadya Yosef came and said, no, we should follow the practice of the Shulchan Aruch, because the Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, was the Mara de Atra of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he wanted to be Machzir Atra Ali Yoshna, that the Sephardic Jews in Eretz Yisrael should follow the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore adopt the stringency of Rabbeinu Tam for all that which is considered to be a mitzvot d'oraita. So ending the time of Motzei Shabbat, or Motza'e Yom HaKippurim, the fast day of Yom Kippur, as opposed to the other fast days, which are only Midrabanan, which he was very happy to use an earlier time, because it was only Midrabanan. But when it came to Mitzvot D'Oraita, it's best to be Machmir for the Zman of Rabbeinu Tam. He was insistent on this in a number of contexts and thought that it was of particular relevance. When it comes to Brit Milah, it becomes more of a question how in order to figure out the day that the baby was born. But when it comes to just keeping Shabbat and refraining from melacha, he was insistent that it should be the Zman of Rabbeinu Tam. Traditionally speaking, there are two general calculations for the time of Rabbeinu Tam. The first is adding 72 minutes after sunset. This is the opinion that's endorsed by the Prima Gadim, that whatever sunset is, 72 minutes later is the Zman of Rabbeinu Tam. The challenge and the problem with that approach is that it doesn't correspond to anything astronomical. Because if we're to assume that it's 72 minutes after sunset in every single place in the world at all times of the year, it's very challenging, because depending on the season, depending on where you are on the planet, 72 minutes after sunset will be a different level of darkness. And we generally assume that what we're looking for in Motzei Shabbat is a particular level of darkness, Tzeit HaKochavim, which is considered to be a particular level of darkness, and that's what we're searching for. And the problem with the 72-minute approach, if we're going to apply it every single day, always 72 minutes, every single place on the planet, is that it's going to be a different level of darkness on different places. Meaning, if it's 72 minutes in everywhere this Motzei Shabbat, that means in Israel, New York, and LA, it will be 72 minutes, but there will be different levels of darkness in all of those places on that same Shabbat. So too, even in Israel itself, 72 minutes in November is going to be, the level of darkness at 72 minutes after sunset is going to be different than 72 minutes after sunset in August. And therefore, it's a very challenging approach. a more astronomical approach, and that's what's the, if you look on myzmanim.com, that's the approach that they show as the Zman Rabbeinu Tam, is that we're measuring darkness by how far the sun is below the horizon. Because if you think about it, that's a measure of darkness. It corresponds to 16.1 degrees. And that seems to be the more common approach to the Zman Rabbeinu Tam. It corresponds to astronomy. It corresponds to what he was trying to get at least. And Rav Ovadia Yosef was particularly fond and encouraging, particularly of Bnei Torah, to be machmir for this when it comes to mitzvot de'oraita.